Greetings, brethren. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Revelation 12:12. In the name of what's left of spiritual sanity, I beg to ask why we can't reconcile the simple truth that what occurs in the spirit realm trickles down to manifest itself in the natural realm, and then act upon this truth. And no, this little study of Revelation 12:12 doesn't have anything to do with when he came down unto us. Okay? That's about as sophomoric as it gets. I'd like to build some sound doctrine around Revelation 12:12. Sound doctrine about where we walk, the dust in the road. Not whether he's come down to us yet, or that he hasn't yet. We haven't scratched the surface of the meaning of real spiritual existence, if all we're going to do is pick bones as to the times and seasons of when the devil has come down to us. As far as I'm concerned, he's here. Revelation 12:12 sets the tone for what we're experiencing today, for how we're living today, how we're fighting today. The spirit of this scripture is the definition of lawlessness today. From Cain until the present, man has endeavored to amass fortunes and control others and dream dreams of total world domination. Is this not the mind of Satan? Is this not manifest in the world? Sure it is. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah 14:14. Ambition drives mankind as it drives Satan himself. Pure, unadulterated ambition. Belly. Satan is the spirit of sin, and according to Jesus Christ, the father of lies. Satan is indeed Antichrist. His intent was and is to be like God, to rule and reign, control and dominate, create and destroy. Now, isn't this spirit and intent in the hearts of mankind at large today? Hasn't this spirit begun in the heart of Cain, multiplied and grown and proliferated throughout the long ages to the present? It started small in man as the first sin in the garden. It's grown to become the predominant mindset of this age. The spirit and intent of the father of all lies is beginning to reach its zenith in creation. If we can't tell that, we need glasses, or better glasses. This spirit is indeed reaching a zenith, just as the spirit and intents of Satan in mankind, fallen mankind, is manifesting a zenith in the visible physical world. We don't have to look too far to see these proofs. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in both sides of the north. Isaiah 14:13. Followed, of course, by I will ascend above the heights of the clouds and be like the Most High. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation. Satan's going to church today? How can Satan not be here on this earth, thrown down from heaven? Satan has no Holy Spirit or unholy spirit with which he can use to transfer his thoughts into deeds by sitting somewhere in a heavenly realm. Only God does that through his Holy Spirit. Satan has to be here physically. He has to be here in person. And he goes to church, among other things. From this ancient wicked spirit issues this NWO mindset and the manifestation we're so fond of. This mindset is a manifestation of the spirit of greed and envy and avarice, control, domination, lust, and especially self-love. And corruption and murder is the modus operandi. And the process is speeding up exponentially. Revelation 12:12, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Well, he's got a short time to pack his bags because he's going to get his butt thrown out of heaven? Don't think so. let's take a look at some parallels. Satan knows that his time is short now. He knows he must finally reach his goal of being like God. He cannot be like God in heaven. He must be like God in the earth. Satan must settle for something less than heavenly rule. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the, where? Ground. Earth. Isaiah 14:12. Cut down to the ground. And it's not exactly what he had in mind, but it suffices, I suppose. He must rule his ground with total authority. And Satan empowers the wicked, polluted by his corruptness, to prepare and build his earthly kingdom. Isaiah 14:12, which didst weaken the nations. This fall from heaven does and has weakened the nations. That's not obvious today. But Satan knows that once he reaches whichever height of power God allows, then it all comes down around his ears. God's Christ returns and a new order is established, a righteous one. And compare the following with what we just talked about. We have it on good authority that world leadership, clerical and secular, knows that some kind of cataclysmic ordeal on a planetary scale is approaching. Okay, the time is short. What better time for mankind to attain to the zenith of his own dreams of power and domination to the world systems while there's a world left? Little does mankind know that his dreams were already dreamed by his father Satan. If mankind knows the time is short, for cosmic or natural reasons, or father's own spiritual reasons, then it's obvious that mankind is hurrying to achieve the fruition of his own wicked plan to dominate and control. Mankind is reaching a pinnacle which has been planned for and dreamt of since Cain killed Abel. The same as mankind's father, Satan. And it is Satan which empowers our would-be masters of the universe. The parallels between the spirit and intent of Satan and the spirit and intent of fallen mankind are unmistakable. For Satan is in them and pulling those particular strings. And how weak are the nations because of this union? And as the zenith approaches, those who are in the way giving resistance are logically destroyed. Now, let's not think for a second that only the leadership on the planet are at fault here. Look into the hearts of simple people around you, and by their fruits, you will establish that the spirit and intent of Satan lives within all of fallen mankind, on every level of society, and on every rung of the social and religious, corporate and governmental ladder. Ask yourselves some questions. Do we ourselves know that our time is short? Are we not aware of the brevity and violence of this life? Isn't our zenith, say, achieving retirement? Isn't this achieved by working for a comfortable end at the peak of our cycle of life? Do we not lie and cheat and steal and destroy in order that we rise to earthly perfection before we take the dirt nap? Do we not attempt to amass fortunes, big or small, before our time runs out in our lives? Do we not attempt to wield absolute authority over others in our lives, careers, and families whenever we can? Isn't the spirit of domination very alive on every level of existence today? Knowing Scripture, won't Satan and his fallen puppets both destroy all opposition that they dominate and sit in the high seat, so to speak? Sure. Sure. Our own lives, our own short lives, are just a little cycle within a bigger cycle. We claw and we scrape so that we could be comfortable later on. And the majority of us have no idea that our souls could be required of us this very day. So we don't act accordingly. Lots of parallels. And it's the same dark spirit, that which is the spirit of the world, the earth. So Satan knows his time is short. Man knows his time is short. And from hence issues the quest for the greatest empire of all, the world empire, with a man and a god, small g, at its head, and all opposition in ashes. That's simple. That's scriptural. That's what Father says is going to happen. So there's no new illumination here. Both Satan and his illuminated children know that the time is short, but hasn't there always been a rise and fall and rebuilding and further rises and falls throughout the ages? Yes, indeed, there have been. But this time today is the time that's running out with no new beginning after it's all over for mankind in that sense. Almighty God has ordained that all things rise and fall, grow and decay, begin and end. God has ordained that everything reach its peak and then fall. God has ordained that there will be an absolute zenith for all mankind. A zenith and a rebirth, which is apparent today, a rebirth of dark consciousness. That the zenith occurs in the last days and ends on the last day. That's also scriptural. Don't need the prophet of God for that one, folks. And this is what I believe we're looking at now. I believe we're looking at the approach of our zenith, dark zenith, tribulation, great tribulation. It's now or never for the one who would be like God and for those who follow after him. Total dominance, reign, and rule. It's pedal to the metal time, and we see it everywhere. God's Spirit speaks to us in Isaiah 2:19, "They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth." Somebody must know something, or somebody's thoroughly deceived. Mankind is so blind to any truth that the concept of the consummation of the world is an impossibility to contemplate. Blind mankind believes that he will hide in the tombs underground that he's constructed and ride out whatever's coming upon the world, then to reemerge to plant his seeds and repropagate his wicked and fallen species, then to dominate again. Dominate all that he lays his eyes upon. Mankind is exhibiting the fear of a coming cataclysm without admitting who is bringing it. Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, Revelation 6:16. Well, soon mankind will know who it is that he will fear and why this is all happening. And then, of course, it'll be far too late to change anything. And when they beg the mountains and hills fall on us, well, they sure as heck will. Mankind has been given a false satanic hope of salvation from catastrophe, it seems. That's what it looks like to me. And this false hope is a mirror of the false hope of salvation the churches offer to the hopeless. After all, Satan sits in the high seats of the majority of temples of worship today, as well as in the bodily temples of the individual. His lies are their life. But staying on point here, mankind bores into mountains and sets up his underground realms of protection in which he will wait out the trouble and once again survive. Yeah. I have to say that when Scripture tells us that God will shake terribly the earth, who in their right mind would care to be entombed beneath the earth in some perceived man-made refuge? I'd be heading for the wide-open spaces, you know. And so do the moles and the bats when everything starts to shake. There's nothing wrong with a hole in the ground during a twister or a violent storm. But under the earth when it's rocking and rolling, or when it's flooding, you gotta be kidding. Indeed, something is coming. Yeah, I believe it. We all do. And mankind still believes he'll crawl out of his holes and replenish the earth. Be it war, a plague, an asteroid, the sun, what have you, God has ordained great tribulation to befall the earth before the return of Christ. Tribulation combining spiritual wickedness, societal chaos, the earth itself. There will be no stone unturned. So, let's get to the moral of this portion of the story. Everyone on the planet and in the powers of the air knows the time is short. Although deluded and deceived mankind does not have the definitively clear picture of the end like their father does, they and their father, the devil, are all acting accordingly to finally achieve total power and authority on every level of existence. That's accordingly. And also to finally achieve godlike status and total domination of the world. But do not ever give this cretin pervert Satan any credit for originality. Satan is not the one pulling the strings. He himself is on the other end of a heavenly leash. We give him too much credit, way too much credit. Remember that Satan wants to be like God. He knows he can never be God. He wants that authority, that power, that sovereignty. Okay? But he wants to be like God in that respect. But knowing that he could never be God kind of trips him up. And it is God who is the architect of everything in heaven and in the earth. And like a great architect, God planned out the creation. Then he implemented it through Jesus Christ. If you have any criticisms of the way things are going down here, I suggest you do not rail against the deceiver. Don't rail against Satan. You take your grievances around the perceived dark lord in charge and fall on your faces before the God who allowed this filthy aberration to exist in the first place. Don't blame God. Who knows the mind of God? And God can bring glory and recognition to himself in any way he chooses or in any way he has planned to do. Again, we're back to, can a branch rule the roots? Neither can puny men reason with Almighty God. We just cannot accept God's total sovereign authority over all that exists. If your eyes are open to just who is totally in charge here and just who made whom, you will not likely ever again complain about the state of affairs which has befallen mankind and the earth of which you are now a part. And that's what separates this preaching from the other preaching. You will be as surrendered to God as God has ordained you to be by his power in you. And thank God that he has shown his great mercy to open your blinded eyes. And then you take the pain as your example Jesus Christ did. Because despite how long the tribulation takes, and despite how long it takes for the end to come or Christ to come, remember that your life is but a vapor. It is short. For some of us, it's shorter than that. Jesus Christ did not compete for earthly preeminence, power, authority, or rule as Satan and fallen mankind do, and some of our so-called brethren. Some example Jesus is, huh? Yeah. Jesus Christ never attempted to rise above those around him or to take the throne of Rome. Jesus was an obedient and humble servant, unlike his opposite Satan. And you know what? The highest point to which Jesus Christ rose on this earth was but a few feet above the ground on a filthy Roman cross. You think about that. And we pink panty, power-hungry Christians want to take back this forsaken land. Establish freedom for ourselves in the name of God. I call that blasphemy, and I call that witchcraft. And I say, let the height of the cross be as high as any of the called out few attain to. So in conclusion, I brought up, he knows his time is short, and so do we, not to sensationalize everybody into thinking the tribulation has come. And not to set any dates or times as to when I believe that Satan has come down to the earth. I presented Revelation 12 in order to say the following. The few know the plan. The few know that no matter where they are, their physical lives are in the hands of God and his Savior. They further know that the most important aspect of their existence on the earth is not their physical or financial well-being. For God provides. The most important aspect of the few's existence is their spiritual well-being, guaranteed to be sustained by God who called them to another life, a life in an as yet unseen heavenly kingdom. a life in the spirit of God's Christ, His Son, Jesus. A life being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, the meek. The few are being conformed into the image of worldly underachievers, in the worldly sense, and I say glory be to God. The few have been given a higher calling, a blessed hope for salvation and eternal life with Christ. What do they care about the cares of this world? The few are not out to amass fortunes or nurture power trips for themselves. The few are humble and fear no man. They fear the one who can cast their souls into hell, not the one who can destroy their bodies or steal their 401ks or place them into slavery or ruin their stupid vacations. The few have no desire to save themselves or to somehow establish freedom, equality, and justice in their towns, nations, or the world. An impossible feat by God's own word. Vanity. The few know who the monsters are and why they exist. Thus, the few conduct themselves in humility and meekness, honesty, with a contrite heart toward the God of creation, the God of salvation, the God of damnation, and the God of tribulation. And so, the few survive this veil of tears with praise and thanksgiving in their hearts, uninvolved with the politics of the revolution or the fantastic hype concerning whatever is coming upon the earth. The few are busily working out their salvation with fear and trembling, examining themselves whether they be in the faith. The few are not boring into the earth. The few are digging deep into the rock of their salvation. The few are dying now that they might live. Choose this day whom ye shall serve. If you've been called to serve God through Jesus Christ, then ditch the world and all the confusion. Jesus Christ is the only one whose end is firmly justified by his means. The only one. And those called to Father through Jesus by the Spirit of God have Jesus Christ to thank for their victory. Not themselves, or the world, or the flesh, or the devil, but Jesus Christ, because he loved his Father. He's obedient to his Father. Let's dispense with the petty babble, dates and times, dogmas and so-called doctrines that have no application whatsoever to the walk. Let's walk. Remember that many seek to enter in and are not able. And many are called, but few are chosen. And few there be that find life. And I can only repeat the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 28, verse 15. You have made a covenant with death, and with hell are you at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, oh, it shall not come unto you. For you have made lies your refuge, and under falsehood have you hid yourselves? There's no lights in Christ under a bushel, saints. Keep it that way. Be obedient, be supple, be willing. May Father bless and keep his body, his saints, his church, the bride of Christ.